Well, hello, folks. Welcome to one of the very first programs we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the helpline for recovering from religion. And with me to talk about it is Eric Huckfeld, the director of the Recovering from Religion helpline. Hey, Eric, welcome. I'm so glad you're here to talk to me about this.
Glad to be here.
So before we kind of get into the program specifics, tell me a little bit about yourself, like where you're located and what you do and kind of how you started volunteering. How long you've been volunteering for RFR?
I believe I've been volunteering since summer of 2019, so it's been about 2 years. And I am I'm a scientist for a living, and I live in Lexington, Kentucky. And I used to be part of a fundamentalist religion called Mormonism. And since I'm here, I'm no longer that and am now a secular humanist.
So you've been volunteering for about 2 years, like you said. But when did you just come on as a director, or did you kind of get some experience in the helpline before you stepped into the director role?
I did not come on as a director. I was trained and was a helpline agent for quite a while. And it was actually Todd Yoder who was the helpline director when I first came on. And he actually was the one who trained me one-on-one. And then there came a point when he needed some help with the training as we were getting more agents coming in at a faster rate. And so I was also a trainer for a while. And when he decided to retire, I decided to take his place.
Let's kind of get into what the helpline is. So tell me what the purpose of it is.
The purpose of the helpline is like with any other branch of RFR, it's to help those struggling with religious issues. But what makes it unique from the other programs is it provides clients an opportunity to speak with someone and one-on-one, to speak with one of our agents via chat or via phone call. Unlike the support groups where there's a scheduled time to meet with a group periodically, this is not a scheduled time. And we theoretically have agents available 24/7. Now, when someone comes into chat or call, there may not be an agent available right then, but they do have the opportunity to chat or call the moment an issue arises or the moment a desire to have that conversation arises. It may not provide that long-term healing like the support groups provides, but it does provide an opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with someone more or less right away. And someone might not feel comfortable presenting their problems in a group. And also when you have that one-on-one conversation with an agent, all of the focus is on that individual client and on the issues that they're facing. So there's lots of benefits of using the helpline when you're someone who has a religious issue to deal with.
So why would I, like, let's say I have this existential crisis, why would I reach out to the helpline instead of maybe talking to my religious leader, like a pastor or a rabbi or minister or something like that? Why would I instead go to the helpline for that recovering from religion?
Well, a lot of people have already tried asking their pastor and haven't gotten satisfying answers. So they might be trying out something else. Maybe the pastor's advice hasn't worked out for you. And so going to the helpline might find you what you've been seeking, or it might present you with new ideas that you haven't thought of before. Going to your religious minister, they are most likely going to be interested in trying to keep you in the religion. And so if you're looking for more of an unbiased perspective, you may want to go to the helpline, because the helpline agents are not interested in keeping you in a religion or getting you out of religion. They are trained to try to figure out what's best for you. And if that is staying in the religion or going and finding another religion, or if it's joining a secular community, whatever it may be, they want to try to find out what's best for you.
So how would I, as a person coming to RFR, connect with the helpline? You talked about chat, you talked about phone calls, but and can I just call in to talk to an agent? Is that how it works?
Pretty much. If you go to our website, recoveringfromreligion.org, you'll see a chat bubble and you can click on it and you can start a chat.
Wow.
And ideally an agent will respond really soon. Or you can call the number that's posted on our website. We have a number for clients in the United States, one for Australia, one for United Kingdom, and another one for South Africa. And if you don't reside in those countries, or if you don't want to use the dialer, you can perform a web call.
Folks in Canada can use the helpline as well.
That too, yes.
So that's pretty cool. Phone numbers in five different countries, but then chats from anywhere you are in the world. From the sound.
Yeah, also you can call us from all parts of the world if you use the web call option.
Oh really? Oh my gosh, that's fantastic! Wow. So you can literally talk if you don't feel safe talking on the phone, you can either chat, or if you're the type of person that like to communicate verbally with another person, you can actually hear somebody's voice. That's pretty darn cool.
That's right. Yeah.
So what kind of things do people come to the helpline for?
Really, one of the major goals that we offer is providing someone to talk to, because often sometimes people going through these issues, they don't have someone to talk to. You mentioned that maybe talking to their religious minister, and they may have not gotten the answers that they want to by doing that. And sometimes they just feel like there's no one they have that they can talk to these things about. They're very sensitive things. And often they might be afraid of what people think. So coming to someone who has a neutral perspective, who is not going to be judgmental, that is a really valuable resource for people who are going through these religious issues.
Now, so what I kind of hear you saying is, like, this is not something where the volunteers are trained to deconvert someone, where if I'm still a Christian and I've got some doubts, then there won't be an effort of like turning me into a non-believer from the sounds of it.
Exactly. We actually have a strict rule against deconverting people. The focus is not to turn all the clients into atheists or into secular humanists or any other belief system or lack of belief. The purpose is to figure out how to best help them and really figure out how to get them to a happier point in their life. Whether that means that they remain religious or maintain some sort of spirituality, or whether it means that they join the American Humanist Association or whatever path that they choose to do.
Is it just existential crises that I can use the helpline for, or perhaps if I'm looking for a resource of some sort, can I connect with the helpline as well? Or if I'm even looking to debate somebody, is that appropriate?
We're not interested in doing debates. You know, if you want to have an argument, there are other platforms where you can do that. You can call up the Atheist Experience or Talk Heathen. They'll love to take that phone call. but what we are, the people who chat into us or call into us, we are hoping to help you. And so if you don't have a problem that you need help with, or if you're calling in with something that's irrelevant, you know, again, it's if you're going through some sort of problem that's related to religion in some way, or religion is in any way causing you heartache, that's when you can call. And if you're calling about something irrelevant, or if you're just looking to argue, then the helpline agent will probably be confused why you're calling, and or chatting, and that conversation would probably be cut short. Now, as far as what you can contact us for, it's really broad. And that's why I say it's just any issue that's related to religion, give us a chat and call. We'll do our best. The best problems that we can solve are probably going to be ones that we already have resources for, whether that's resources on our page or some other resource that an agent is aware of that they can share with you. If we don't have a specific resource that we can send to you or text you or email you, that doesn't mean that we can't still help, because no matter what your religious problem may be, just having the opportunity to talk to somebody, someone who's going to be attempting to be neutral and non-judgmental, and someone who cares about what you're going through, being able to talk to someone like that alone and maybe even vent a little bit, that can be cathartic. That can be healing. And also, the helpline agents are trained to utilize the Socratic method, and getting asked the right questions can help you think through your problem and figure out a resolution. And even if no resources are exchanged, that conversation alone can be really valuable. It's amazing how alone people feel when they're going through this, and how not alone they really are, because there are thousands, millions of people out there who also think they're alone. And if there was just some way where they could all get in contact with each other, maybe through some online platform, perhaps they would realize that they certainly are not alone. There are lots of people going through this all the time. This is a very prevalent need, which demonstrates the importance of this organization. This is a real prevalent need. And what we're doing is really important, really valuable, especially now.
When people feel lonely, many times they no longer want to be around, or they no longer want to be a part of the human experience, and they contemplate suicide. For me, that would be a scary thing to encounter on the helpline. Is that a topic or an issue that the agents have to kind of deal with it? And if so, how do they work through it?
Unfortunately, that is a thing that comes up, where a client may call and they express suicidal thoughts, or even a plan to end their life, or if not end their life, commit some sort of self-harm. And ultimately, that is beyond our scope, because people in those situations, they're going to need more help than what the helpline can offer. And so the way we handle that is, it's not like we just hang up or end the chat right away, but we talk to them and try to calm them down, use some of those Socratic techniques, but all the while we're going to be trying to connect them with someone else, whether that's the National Suicide Hotline, or perhaps some other hotline that they can give a call that's specialized towards handling those sort of situations.
Yeah, wow. And these are all resources that the helpline agents have access to. It sounds like with such a huge breadth of issues that come to the helpline agents, there must be a gigantic database of resources that these agents can access.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a resources page. Go to recoveringfromreligion.org, and at the top, you can click on resources, and they are organized by topic, and everyone at any time is able to navigate our resources on our website. And also, agents are not restricted to the resources on our website. If they have seen something, maybe a YouTube video, podcast, article, whatever it might be, if they're aware of something that they believe would be helpful in a client's particular situation, they're free to share those as well. And then as agents do that, we might consider adding the resources that they shared to the official page. And that's how our resources grow.
Well, let's talk about the need. What kind of volume do you see? How many chats or phone calls do the helpline agents take, like, I don't know, on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis? Do you guys track that?
It varies a lot. But from what I've seen, there are a handful of chats and calls every day. Sometimes when something happens, like maybe a global pandemic, for example, that could increase the amount of chats or calls coming in. I would say it's roughly about 5 to 10 on average.
5 to 10 a day.
Each day.
So that would be times 30, about 300, 300 a month or so on the high end.
Yep. A very rough guess without actually having the charts in front of me right now. That's what I'd say. And it increases gradually all the time.
How many volunteers, how many agents are kind of active at this time?
So hundreds of people have come and gone, but as far as those who are active, we have 59 active volunteers on the helpline at the moment, not including those in more administrative roles. Mm-hmm. It's 46 at the moment.
I know Recovering from Religion is somewhat skewed towards the United States just because it's where it was founded. And on the support group side, most of the support groups are in the U.S. If most of the volunteers, most of the agents are in the U.S., are you guys able to cater to some of the worldwide calls that are coming in or chats that are coming in?
Yeah, there are certainly ways that we can accomplish that. We do have volunteers in other countries, and so we do have volunteers in other time zones. And that's one way to do it. But also people volunteer at different times of the day, you know, the morning for someone in the United States could be the evening for someone in Western Europe or Western Africa. And those times could still line up. If someone isn't available in the morning in one place, someone on the other side of the world might be available in the afternoon. So the combination of people being available at different times of the day, as well as having volunteers at different time zones, allows us to definitely get those chats and calls from all over the world.
Now, here in the U.S., we're pretty lucky in the sense that if we are no longer believing in our religion, that we are relatively safe, like physically. But there are a lot of countries out there, I'm thinking like Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, that if you don't believe in the state-sanctioned religion, then there is a big chance that you will be killed. Your life is literally at risk. Do you get calls from or chats from folks in those kinds of countries? And if so, how are those handled?
Yes, we definitely do. And we have established a policy when we get clients coming in from Muslim majority nations, because like you said, they could be killed or imprisoned, or even if their government doesn't punish them, their family members might punish them. And so, yes, there definitely is a danger there. And so we've established protocols to keep those people safe. And what we've done is we require that they use what's called a VPN. We have them use this software, which protects those chats and calls or that data being sent through the internet from being tracked. And so it prevents their government from spying on them or from other people from spying on them. And so those chats and calls that they have truly are private, because if, like you said, if that information was seen by someone observing the chat or call, then they could be in big trouble if they're expressing doubt in their religion or thinking about leaving the religion.
Got it. Let's get back to the agents a little bit. You talked about training. Now, is this kind of training really heavy duty type of training where when the training they're through, they're basically a mental health professional, or is it something different? Like, can agents diagnose mental illnesses over the chat or the phone, or how does this work?
No, they definitely are not mental health professionals. In fact, we discourage our agents from acting as such, even if they do have mental health training, because we do have some agents who volunteer who actually are psychologists for a living. But even if they have had that sort of training, we still put restrictions on them as if they do not have that training. We don't have the capacity and to give them that kind of training, and we don't expect the agents to have the amount of bandwidth to become counselors. And there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. And so what we do is we describe ourselves as peer support. We are not mental health professionals, and we are not offering mental health services. Our agents are trained, and I mentioned the Socratic method. They are trained with active listening skills, and they're trained to ask the right sort of questions. But they are restricted from giving advice. You know, our agents aren't going to tell you what to do, but they're going to offer you information, offer you resources, offer you ideas, and ask critical questions that can, in an attempt to get you thinking about your problem and how to resolve it. It is ultimately the client's choice on what they do with the ideas that the agent gives them.
It also sounds like the agents offer an empathetic ear and a non-biased type of ear to listen to as well.
Absolutely. And since you mentioned mental health services, we should also say that it's not that recovering from religion doesn't help people get those services. There's the Secular Therapy Project. And if an agent suspects that a client could benefit from receiving secular therapy, then they will certainly point the client in the right direction. But the helpline itself is not going to be providing those services.
What are two or three of the biggest issues that people come to the helpline talking about?
The majority of issues can pretty much be summarized with a mix of guilt or wow. fear. Big one is being afraid of going to hell or being afraid of what God might do to you if you're doubting. A lot of the times thought crimes are instilled, and they might be afraid, like even doubting or even attempting to talk about these things at all could be considered a sin. Also, sexuality is a huge issue, because many of our clients are coming from fundamentalist religions, being ashamed of being a sexual person and trying to overcome those feelings. LGBT issues are unsurprisingly, if you're gender nonconforming or if you don't have a heteronormative sexual orientation, that's something that clients want to get resources for. And another very common one is the client themselves might not have internal issues, but they might have relationships with people who are religious. They might have a religious spouse, or they might be dating someone who's religious, or they might have religious parents or family members, and they want to try to figure out how to maintain those relationships in a healthy way while they themselves may not want to share the same religious beliefs or behaviors as their family members.
Sounds like we've covered a pretty robust description of what all the helpline does. Well, you've been volunteering, like we've talked about, for about 2 years now. What has it been like for you? What have you gotten out of it?
Overall, it's been a very valuable experience. There have been times that were challenging. And there were even times where I thought about giving up or taking a break. But I'm glad I stuck with it because, like I said earlier, what we're doing here is really valuable. It's really helpful for people. This is a very important need that we're filling right now. And I certainly would have loved to know about an organization like this when I was recovering from religion. I had no idea that something like this existed when I was recovering from religion. And I knew it would have helped me. And I get a lot of fulfillment and a lot of happiness from helping people who went through similar things that I went through.
Eric, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and kind of explain this to us. This was a valuable exercise, not only I think for the folks watching this, but for me as well. I kind of learned some new stuff about the helpline, and I'm really, really grateful for your knowledge and your time.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for putting this together, Eric.
Recovering from Religion is a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to provide hope, healing, and support to those struggling with issues of doubt and non-belief. Hope, healing, and support is waiting for you on our website, recoveringfromreligion.org. There you can speak or chat with a trained agent who will work with you through your struggles and doubts or to help find resources that may work for you. You can also find local Recovering from Religion support groups in your area for the long-term recovery work. Resources specifically curated for those struggling with doubts, disbelief, and trauma can also be found on the RFR website. To connect with a secular therapist in your area, go to seculartherapy.org and create an account. If you'd like to support the work that RFR does, you can donate or sign up as a volunteer on the Recovering from Religion website. It's also a big help subscribing to the RFR YouTube channel, our blog, or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Questions, comments, and suggestions can be emailed to us at rfrx@recoveringfromreligion.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll be with us next time on the Recovering from Religion podcast.